Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Cynthia Cherish, Maloran River, and DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Before you forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, and that's love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Primary Food, or Heritage underscore Radio, or hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the fourth season of Primary Food. And really excited for today's guest. Some really important stuff we're going to be discussing today. But first, what exactly is primary food? So I learned this really great concept in nutrition school at IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff we put in our mouths and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. And that's stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends, cooking food, enjoying food with friends, having a great job, creative expression, playing games, exercise, stuff like that. And I'm so glad that I learned this because it was the high-quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and healing my cancer. So primary food is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and I will love you forever. So today's guest on primary food combines, actually, for the next half hour, we're going to be combining secondary and primary food with a theme of exploration, compassion, and politics. And today's guests, I have the three founders behind Breaking Bread NYC, Scott Weiner, Steph Mantis, and Jeff Orlick. Hey, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. I feel like what you guys have created and what you're putting out there is so freaking necessary right now. So who wants to start and give an intro on what Breaking Bread NYC is and why it had to happen?
Well, I think it's first easiest to start with why it had to happen, which
is... And that's
is,
Scott.
Yeah, this is Scott.
This is Scott's voice.
Yeah. I think there's a lot going on in the United States right now politically that is disturbing to, I know, to the three of us and to the rest of us who are involved with Breaking Bread and to a lot of us in New York and a lot of us in the rest of the country. And people are trying to figure out how to best respond. And a lot of people are marching and protesting, and some people are ranting on their Facebook pages or, you know, complaining to other people at the dinner table. Our way of doing it, we've decided, is to take a positive angle on it and try to be inclusive of people who are different rather than exclusive of people who are different. And we try to do that with this project, Breaking Bread NYC, which is just really a collective aimed at producing food events that open different cuisines up to people who are not used to trying them. So, as Jeff calls it, food diplomacy, a way of sharing food and doing that as a means of sharing experiences.
So let's be very specific, though. What happened? And then what did you guys do about it? Because for people who, believe it or not, there are people on the fence about this topic.
This is true.
And this is a very, shouldn't be a polarizing topic. So tell us, in your words, in your opinions, what the ban is, why it's so wrong. Tell us everything you're feeling, because this is an educational moment. And I think it's really important for you guys to just be real about it.
Okay, we will. Yeah, it's a well.
Careful what you ask for. Be real.
So just over a week ago, it was a Friday, and President Donald J. Trump signed an executive order that did a couple of different things. And one of them was a ban on all refugees for 120 days and a ban on all immigration from 7 Muslim-majority countries for 90 days. And the combination of those two things happening in a sweeping an executive order that wasn't put up for discussion or debate, because clearly so many people are against it, was so rattling that all I know in our experience being New Yorkers, we see everybody in the city just exploded. And it was actually really comforting to know that there was such an explosion. And I know among the three of us, me and Steph and Jeff and Sirhan, who's the fourth one of us who started doing all this, I know all of us were doing different things at that moment on that weekend. And I was at a community meeting that Sunday in my neighborhood in Brooklyn and, outside in the cold because there were so many people there who could not fit inside this community meeting. And it was really awesome. And you see, like, everybody's trying to do something. And I just thought, well, maybe there's... What can I actually do? What can I physically do? So I texted Jeff and I said, hey, why don't we do like a food tour featuring food from those 7 banned nations? And Jeff used to do food tours in Queens. I do food tours all over the city. That's like our language. And he didn't get back to me that night. I was pretty mad.
He was sleeping.
I know you're sleeping. And then the next day I put it up, or maybe it was even that night, I put it up on Facebook. Hey, who's interested? And immediately, Steph Mantis jumps back with, yes, yes, yes. And then my phone's ringing. She's like, yes, let's do this. What can we do? And it was like wildfire. The number of people who were interested in doing something, just doing something proactive to be positive and to show not so much just, oh, why this is a terrible idea, but more like why it's a good idea to take that opposite view and to be inclusive. So rather than keeping somebody away from the table, welcoming them to the table.
So what is the actual action, the proactive action that you guys do? Tell us about it, and how do we invite people to check out these restaurants and name the restaurants and the cuisines and the countries? Because this is, it's really amazing that you're able to see what positive thing you can do with some bomb of shit that fell on all of us. So tell us about the actual invitation to check out these cuisines and restaurants.
So just before we even get into the actual stuff, basically the four of us were like, well, let's do what we do, which is food related stuff in some capacity. These guys do food tours. I do food design. So you do what you do plus this new lens, and that's where you end up with a new awesome thing. So we said, why don't we quickly put together a food tour featuring the cuisine of, some of the countries in the ban, and we know one area where all that's happening is Atlantic Ave in Brooklyn. And so we went out, talked to a bunch of the store owners, got a sense of if they were wanting to be a part of this. They all did. This was also right on the heels of the Yemeni bodega protest. And so once that happened, everything was kind of galvanized, and it was like, yes, whatever we can do to bring attention to this, we're going to do that. And so then we just said, okay, let's see what happens. This is pretty scrappy. I mean, this was an idea on Sunday. We got together on Tuesday night, and we launched this first tour that Saturday. So we're talking about 6 days turnaround time.
Wow.
From concept to execution, yeah. And so food tours are one thing we're doing. We're hosting a dinner this Saturday at Safari in Harlem. It's New York City's first Somali restaurant. It's going to be awesome. We're selling tickets on our website, breakingbreadnyc.com. You can find us on Facebook at breakingbreadny and on Twitter at breakbreadnyc. Hashtag across all platforms is #breakingbreadnyc. And yeah, so we're basically like putting together events as we go. We're still pretty fresh and young, out of the oven, if you will. but we're kind of just like, we got to do something. We put out a call and people have been really, really responsive.
You know, we see like all these opportunities are coming forth. The first start with the tour, and we're doing a map every week. We're sending to people. And then we have this woman, Myra Alperson, who is a legendary tour guide, and she's doing all these tours also with it. And people are approaching us from everywhere that want to help and that are offering their skills and abilities. And so things are, so, I mean, we're not doing one thing. As things happen throughout the band, and we intend to do this until the band is over, I think, maybe more.
Can we put to words what people have been thinking, which is, you know, people know and they feel this is wrong. Can you guys put to words why it's wrong and help others out so that they can communicate to other people why it's wrong and spread the word? Some people, you know, they feel that it's wrong, but they don't know how to continue the message. Like, it's wrong because...
Yeah. Well, I mean, in New York City, it's easy. I mean, the problem is... It's not the problem, but the great thing about NYC is that everyone is our neighbor. Every person from everywhere is our neighbor. If Brooklyn, New York City, Queens was a microcosm of the whole United States, this wouldn't be a problem. I think everyone would understand. And we are kind of preaching to the choir because people that are into it are this is what they're passionate about.
I think part of it too is that outside of, you know, cities, people don't have access to this culture, and so it's easy to be afraid of it. And food is such a universal thing. You know, you have to eat lunch every day. And right now, where you spend those lunch dollars actually has a little more impact than you might think. And so just even talking about, like, what are you getting for lunch? Like, do you want to try this other thing? You can't do that everywhere. But doing stuff like this, hopefully, you know, one of our goals is not just to do these events, but to inspire other people in other cities to do these events. There's no reason. You don't need our permission. Just go for it.
And that's really important. You made a great point that there might be other parts of this country that aren't exposed to people and cuisine from Iran, Iraq, Sudan, Syria, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen, right?
Yeah.
And we have a lot of that in this city. But that doesn't mean that there aren't immigrants in those other cities doing what they do like they do it here.
I mean, the other thing, too, is like we take for granted that a lot of the food we love as in this country, a lot of the foods that have the biggest fan clubs, pizza, tacos, sushi, they're all immigrant foods.
Aha.
They're all immigrant foods. And we kind of have absorbed them at this point as American, you know, we've got restaurants and cultures like devoted just to those foods. But that's just because we got there first with them. Who's to say we're not going to fall in love with something from Yemen or Iraq or Iran?
Have you guys so far learned about new foods in this process already?
Absolutely. Oh. I mean, none of us are experts on this cuisine at all.
Ooh,
which is why
us.
Well,
tell
when we started want. When we started doing this, we were reaching out to all these people saying like, hey, does anybody know about this cuisine? Because like we know we want to do it, but we don't know anything about it. So like really, we started going to those restaurants. The three of us met up and we said, okay, we got to hit these places. Let's try something here and there. And I mean, on so many ways of cooking a lamb. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And tomato, I was kind of shocked with, I don't remember the name of the dish we had, which is like, this is what we have to work on. But the one we had at Yemen Cafe, the like tomato and...
Oh, the stew?
The bubbling stew.
Oh, man. I don't
How
remember
many
what,
ways
what
to make
called.
A tomato?
Yeah. It was
and beans, like, you know, just
fava beans,
different
yeah.
dips, like fool was my
fool,
favorite.
Fool, that was the one. That was the
fool,
one.
Fool, yeah. That was Yemen cuisine.
Don't be a fool. Like, try the fool.
Try the fool.
Yeah, oh, it was so good. I mean, really, we learned so much about these cuisines. And we're not doing this because we're experts in the cuisine. It's just we know what the end game is. And the end game is just understanding. That's all it is. Because, like, we can't forget this is not just about being afraid of immigrants. This is because the president of the United States thinks that people who all look like one picture of a terrorist are all terrorists. I don't think he's ever eaten in these restaurants. He likes Big Macs, which is fine. You can like a Big Mac, but I would love to welcome him to try some of these restaurants, and that could be a bridge, not for him, but for some more sane people. It's a bridge. Because the lack of understanding starts with with that disconnect. And the, even that phrase, breaking bread, it refers to sitting down, enjoying a meal together. It could be any food. You sit down with somebody you've never met before and you eat, and suddenly there's something to talk about. Like if you and I sit down and we're at Roberta's, we eat pizza together, I can look at the way you're eating it or what you order, and I know a little bit more about you. And when you enjoy a common food together, then that's a whole other level of intimacy. And it's just
that. It's peacemaking. Yeah. As opposed to like highlighting the negativity, you're actually like, everything's on the table. You're eating the same food. You're not trying to hurt each other. There's a shared experience. Now you have something to refer back to. You have something to talk about. If you don't want to talk about each other, you can talk about the food. And so it's food brings people together one way or the other. Sometimes it's because there's not enough of it. And sometimes it's because we're sharing it. In this case, hopefully it's because we're sharing it.
And you just described the whole point of primary food right there.
Didn't even know.
Yeah. Sharing food is one of my favorite primary foods because, like you said, it's a social gathering. And what better of a social gathering with food than to learn about other cultures and to dispel the biggest problem, which is fear. So what can you put out there in the world for people who are afraid of other people's foods?
Totally. I mean, this is why we did these. This is the purpose of that particular tour that we did. We didn't know about these cultures when we went into it, when we were planning the tour, and that's okay. So we didn't do it like a traditional tour that we're used to doing where we'd expound on something and teach, but it was more of just getting people to walk in the door and to be, to feel, I guess, comfort, like they belong here too. I guess that is a problem. Like people see the door and they don't know what it's all this mystery. All these clouds, that's what stops them from coming. But for this tour that we organized, we just made it very simple. We went to each place and we took a recommendation for something to split, and we had that set up for them as they came in. So there wasn't like this barrier for when they came in and they had to figure out, well, what do I order, or what do I do, or who do I talk to.
We made the decisions for you.
Yeah, okay. It was all very streamlined. And so like something like that is something that should be done in other cities too. Like it's not hard to do this type of thing. The hardest part is just walking in the door. So we walk in the door and we could discuss it, and you're just smelling what other people are smelling. And especially at a busy lunchtime, by the time we ended it, the whole Yemen cafe, Yemen cuisine, they're all packed. And it's like so awesome a scene to see everyone eating. And like, I want to go back there 6 times to have everything everybody else had. And it's like, it's just a whole new world that's opening up. And you want to understand.
I think Breaking Bread NYC is really about awareness. A lot of the tours and a lot of the events that we've done in our other businesses are more about informing and educating. And this is much more about awareness. And kind of like Jeff says, you know, you have to point out the door in order for someone to walk through it. So what we're doing is hopefully raising awareness, telling you like, hey, did you know all these restaurants are here? Like you can go there too. And what we're finding is people are actually, you kind of have to be explicit about it and say like, go here, this is the place. And so we're happy to do that. That's the whole point of this. We want to bring eyes and ears and dollars, frankly, to these communities in the time that they're being squeezed a bit.
And stomachs.
I mean, and stomachs, mostly stomachs.
A plate alone is very shallow. It really does not go beyond that. But like, there's just so much that branches out from that, and the whole community and everything. That's important. Along, like, also these communities, as far as the Yemeni and Syrian, they've been here for 100 years. So like, they're okay. Like they're doing okay. They don't really. I mean, like, it's not a charity thing. It's a community thing. It's getting to know our neighbors. Yeah.
I think what Jeff's saying is interesting because, you know, they're doing okay in that, they've been here longer than we have been here, but they're not doing okay if this is what the rest of the country is doing. And that's why when we walked into those places and, you know, with groups of people and filling them up, like, we were out of place, but they didn't make us feel out of place. Yeah. Think about how they feel, not in New York City, anywhere else, where you are very much a minority and people don't make you feel quite as warm. And hopefully that kind of thing will spread. And it's, you know, it's incredible to see a room full of people get so excited about something. And it's only because, as Jeff pointed out, you point them out and say, this is what it is. And like Steph was saying, you explicitly say this is the place and this is the time to go.
Yeah.
And we're kind of organizing the... I know at least part of what's driving me is that I want to check these places out.
Certainly.
I'm signing up for all the events we're doing. Like,
and also, like, as for you, for your viewers at home, listeners, like, it doesn't matter if you like the food. That's an all. Like, for doing tours, like, it's okay if someone does not like a dish, because there are 50 different dishes at a place, and just piquing their interest a little bit, that's going to inspire people to go again and again. So I'm just saying, like, don't put so much emphasis on getting the perfect food to match everyone's likings. It's okay.
That's a really great point. So, like you said, during tours, you're not expected to like every single thing, but you're just going to experience.
It doesn't matter if you like. Like, when I did tours, it didn't matter if you like it. Just walk in and try it and talk to people, and that is the tour.
That's really awesome. Okay, so we're going to take a little sponsor break, and then we'll come back with Breaking Bread New York City and how they're affecting the communities.
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth generation cheesemakers, combining old world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds, delicious fresh cheese curds, or deep fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com. And as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer. Leaning for a
Frank Jackson. And we're back with Scott Wiener, Steph Mantis, and Jeff Orlick of Breaking Bread New York City. They're bringing back humanity to New York City restaurants affected by the Muslim travel ban put on by our president, Donald Trump. So you guys, what events do you have coming up?
Ooh, well, we've got an awesome one coming up this Saturday, which is going to be at the Safari Restaurant in West Harlem. It's the only Somali restaurant in New York City, and that's at 6 o'clock. We've got we're booking out the whole place, all 30 seats.
Amazing.
It's the only Somali restaurant in the tri-state.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That big?
It's that big.
What?
I didn't realize it's that rare.
Really?
Because you hear about Somalia. You hear about it.
Yeah.
It's not an uncommon topic.
We but know it's a place.
But the food is, which is crazy,
I had no
right?
idea. I mean, I'm almost scared to say it's the only one in New York City, only because it's the only one we've found. But you're telling me.
Shakib, who is hosting the event, is picking out everything. He's going to lead everyone through the meal. He said it was the only one in the tri-state.
That's
crazy.
So awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome that we're going to get to go, but it's also... Yeah, wow.
Only well, talk about shining the light on these places, because this is what's happening right now.
And seriously, I don't know when I ever would have gotten to that place or when it would have crossed my radar.
Right.
When this stuff, like, this is cool. Just as much exploration for us as it is for anybody else. Like, we're only just putting this together.
That's so cool, because I was just going to ask you, so what's the cuisine like? But you're going to find out.
Yeah. Jeff was there.
We'll tell you later, or join us and find out for
yourself.
I was there.
Yes.
I did not eat there.
Okay. How did it smell?
It was very interesting. It was cool. It was not something I was used to at all. I mean, it's like French influence, I think. And I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, but, we'll find out. That's going to be so chic. We're doing like this group family style meal. It's $50 a head. It's all inclusive. So tax tip, everything, food. And he's going to tell us everything about each dish and bring it out. And it's just going to be awesome. We have tickets available through our Facebook page, which is Breaking Bread NYC. And then we have this Saturday, we have a tour led by Myra Alperson from Nosh Walks, but it's actually sold out. That's down in Bay Ridge.
Bravo. I think
that's a Yemeni lunch on Saturday. But she's also doing two tours next week. One's on the 18th, one's on the 19th. The one that on the 18th is a Syrian lunch. And on the 19th is a Sephardic King's Highway situation where
incredible.
I think she's going to some like Jewish Syrian bakery of some sort. I don't know. Myra, Jeff mentioned Myra before. This woman has been doing food tours in New York City longer than anybody. I think since the early 80s.
Yeah, 30 years.
She
yeah.
started Nosh Walks in 2000, but she started doing bicycle culinary tours in the 80s.
Right.
Totally. So she's like a major hero. And she contacted us about, hey, let me do something. So she's got two tours next week also available through our website.
That's amazing.
And do we have something else? Oh, and we just confirmed today, Kayvon Afshari. Yeah, he's leading a Persian dinner on the 17th, which is a week from this Friday. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be at Rava in Midtown East, I believe, on 30th
Street. It's 11 East 30th.
Cool.
Specifically.
And that's like, he's from Iran. He was on the Iranian Council. I forgot what it was called. Oh, you know, he was the director of communications for the Iranian American Council.
The American Iranian Council, yeah.
I flipped it. Which is like a think tank.
So you're doing this all around the city, not just Brooklyn.
Yeah. No, we're
like,
trying to do it everywhere.
We're trying to do it everywhere.
We're trying to blow it up.
So tell us, you know, for those of us who aren't familiar with the term food tour, what is that? Is that actually like on foot, you go from restaurant to restaurant, or is it you go to one restaurant and they give you a presentation? Or?
So usually with a food tour, it's multiple stops. So it's kind of a progressive meal from spot to spot to spot to spot. But what we're doing with these events is not necessarily food tours.
Okay.
We're doing food events. Okay. So the tour, we did an event on Saturday called the Middle Eats Tour, which were the five restaurants along Atlantic Avenue. But then these dinner events that we're doing, the Somali restaurant and Rava with Kayvon Afshari, that the Persian restaurant, those are just one restaurant, and then you're led through the meal. But it's, you know, and it's a prefix, all-inclusive, family style. It's kind of like the way I want to eat food at a restaurant is I want to try everything.
Yeah, sure.
So that's what this will be.
That's fantastic. And how successful was the Middle East tour? I was going to ask you about that.
It was crazy. I mean, that was the one that we
I mean, that was like by the our bootstraps, we put that thing together. We had over 80 people show up.
Amazing.
Raised about $2,500. About 800 of that went to the local businesses. The remaining 1,700 went to CARE New York, which is the Council for American Islamic Relations. Everyone was super generous, super supportive. A lot of people were going back into the restaurants and the bakeries to buy
amazing.
Stuff after the tour. So that was like additional, whatever that ended up raising, we don't know. But we heard people saying that we're in the neighborhood, that we're glad we're doing this. We heard people that have just, they came out for this. This was their introductory, you know, tasting to that part of Brooklyn. And they were like, we're coming back. So that awareness thing, I mean, that's what we want to hear.
Yeah, and the business owners loved it.
Yeah.
They were so ecstatic about the whole thing. It was really 100% a very wholesome event.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was really great because we didn't have to bring up the political situation. You didn't have to like talk about it. You know, it's like it's another way to be active and political without having to constantly talk about, oh, how upset we are about
that's
it.
Beautiful. So there wasn't like riotous talking about it. It was just a beautiful experience.
There was no signs or anything. Mm. No.
And
that's how we want it to be.
Yeah.
That was the initial thought, that we're not like trying to break any windows. We're just trying to
break bread.
Just break bread.
Exactly.
Yeah. Break bread, not windows.
And to counterbalance what's going on. I think that is so incredible. It's so beautiful. It's incredible what I consider good food karma.
Very
you know.
Much
well,
so.
I think in a time where, you know, it could be political, and it is political, because a lot of people, they want to do something. There's this sort of indecision or analysis paralysis about what to do and how to do it. And so Breaking Bread NYC is trying to literally, like, put that on a plate for you, and you can buy that plate, and you're making a difference.
So this is great. This is the best way to end this episode. Discuss how we can influence other cities to do what you guys are doing. We have like five, six, 7 minutes. Go for it.
This is easy. I mean, you find the restaurant in your town that you have been afraid to go to. I don't care if it's from one of those seven countries or not. Just go to that restaurant and try something and talk to the owner. What should I try?
And if you don't have a restaurant from Yemen or Somalia, go to an immigrant-owned restaurant. Any immigrant at this point. Like, show some support for your neighbors, whether or not you know them or know where they're from. That's one way to get to know them, is you share food together.
Yeah, and you know what? Also share that on social media.
Yeah. This is where we can use social media for good.
And that's why this whole campaign, we're really hoping, I mean, one of my thoughts is we see all these pictures in the Facebook feed of protesters and, oh, that's a funny sign, I want to do that sign. But, you know, what if we sprinkle some pictures of delicious food in there? Like, people love delicious food pictures, right?
Food
Unless
porn.
You're annoyed by it.
But. Everybody eats.
Yeah,
Everybody
so eats. So the idea is, let's sprinkle a little bit of that. And that's sending a similar message. So hopefully other cities will do similar things, and a lot of them have already been doing. We're not like the first to use food for deployment.
No, and we're Breaking Bread NYC, but there's no Chicago. You want to be Breaking Bread Chicago? Go for it. Looking at you, LA. Like,
that's the official challenge invite.
Dun dun.
So, speaking of social media, where can people find all of your activities so they can catch up, join, buy tickets? You know, get in on it.
Everything is on our Facebook page, which is Breaking Bread NYC. You can also access it through breakingbreadnyc.com.
Fantastic.
And our Twitter is breakbreadnyc.
Wow, fantastic. Now, personal question, like, are any of you of Muslim background, or just feel like you have to support?
No, but Scott and I don't know about Steph. I don't think so.
I don't know yet.
Are Jewish.
Not Jewish,
and
no.
And that really is, for me, that is like the core of a lot of things that I do personally outside of this and Breaking Bread. It's just, you know, we know what happened in the past, how it was controversial for Jews to come in during World War II. It was, and Americans wouldn't accept them at some points. It was a discussion. Now it's like a patriotic thing that Israel and Jews are our biggest ally, but it was not always like this. And so we see these are our brothers. You know, brothers fight, as we know.
Sisters also.
Sisters fight also. But this is like so important, because this is our past and America's future. So it's so integral.
This is not a wait and see moment. This is you can be a bystander or an upstander.
I mean, this is us.
Upstand.
These are our people. We may not be born in the same place, but it's us, and this is America. So this is why we're here.
Yeah, you remember in that movie, like when the aliens came and like everybody on Earth had to get together? Like, what about that, Donald?
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about that exactly?
He's like, what about that? Didn't you see that movie?
No, he didn't, clearly.
He doesn't know it, but he's the alien.
Deep.
They're orange, not green.
Sound booth is listening.
All right.
Dave woke up.
Way awesome, you guys. And any final words on, like, you know, what people should think about, and, you know, just invite them one last time, because I really want this to be a success.
Come on out. Visit the Facebook page. Oh, and also, if people want to get involved with us, if they want to help, like, this is just like a collective of people working together. We would love to bring you on. If you have media contacts and can help out, if you want to help us with our building up our map, if you want to help us run a tour, if you are from Libya and your grandmother can cook for a bunch of people, we need some Sudanese restaurants, we need Libyan restaurants.
If, like, you're bilingual or trilingual and you want to lead a non-English speaking tour, reach out. And in general, everybody out there, all I got to say is stay hungry.
Also, I guess before I say anything else, I just want to say that no matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you made mistakes, you're lovable, and it doesn't matter your looks, skills, your age, your size, or anything. You're worthwhile. No one can ever take that away from you.
That was so beautiful, you guys.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's Kai the Hitchhiker.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Primary Food with Breaking Bread, New York City, with Scott, Jeff, Steph, Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Primary Food, produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. So go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate, and go check out Breaking Bread NYC. Thanks, everyone.
Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world, or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.